Hey, everybody, welcome to Catholics Alliance. Glad that you're here. My name is Chris, one of the pastors here at the church. Special welcome to you if you are new and you are looking for a church, maybe a new online church, or just you're in Kamloops and before you come in person or until COVID is over, you're attending online, whatever. I'm really glad that you're here. This is a perfect weekend for you to come. If you're just the KAC folk, just trusting us, loving us, journeying with us, thank you so much for being here. It's great that you're here. Regardless of whether this is your first time or whether you've been here for decades, this is a perfect weekend, as I said, because we are showing a documentary of the history of our church. Our mission here at Kamloops Alliance is to know Jesus and to make him known. And really, there's two ideas. To know Jesus is to go deep in Jesus through historical Christian practices, scripture, confession, fasting, Sabbath, all of those things that Christians have employed to be close to Jesus. Yes, we want to go deep. We want to know Jesus and we want to make him known. And that's wide. So deep and wide is kind of our mission here. And so we want to tell the world. We want to tell Kamloops. We want to tell anybody and everybody that we possibly can about the good news of what Jesus has done for us. And so that is our mission and our vision at the church is to see all people become fully devoted followers of Jesus. And so breaking that down is pretty simple. To see all people, I've said, means all people, old and young and different colors of skin, different socioeconomic brackets, all people, to become, to go from one place to another, to become fully devoted followers, fully devoted. We just believe life, the best flourishing life that you can live is when you're fully devoted to not yourself, but to Jesus Christ. And so to know Jesus and to make him known and to see all people become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ is really the reason why all of us here on staff, all of our church, this is our heartbeat. This is why we exist. And so although those phrases may be generally new to Kamloops Alliance, the heartbeat, the ethos behind those phrases has been a part of our church for the last 77 years. Kamloops Alliance Church was birthed or planted in 1944, and we have a rich history that we want to celebrate this weekend, that we want to honor. And so for the past about 14 to 18 months, one of our team members, Ben Johnson, has been traveling, when safe to do so, across our country, interviewing people that have invested significantly, different leaders and pastors into our community. As well, he has been interviewing some of these people who have sat in these pews in this room for like six decades, learning and trying to bring a story to KAC. And so we have a rich history here. And so that's what this weekend is all about, is to watch in film who we are and whose we are. So enjoy.
You want me to start? Okay. I'm Glenn Farrow. I've been attending Kamloops Alliance Church since 1989.
It's Andrew Smeaton. I've attended Kamloops Alliance Church since 1999.
Lise Houghton. I've been attending Kamloops Alliance for about 25 years.
Well, my name is Larry Boss. I pastored Kamloops Alliance beginning in 2008 until 2017.
My name is Sarah, and my family and I started attending Kamloops Alliance Church when I was in grade 5 or 6, I think. So probably about 30 years now.
I'm Bonnie Finnemore, and we were at Kamloops Alliance 1993 to 2006.
I'm Tim Bussey, and I've been pastor here for just over 12 years.
My name is Don Olson, and I pastored at the KAC from 1990 to 2006, which is about 16 years, a little better.
And my name is Chris Olson, and I was there about the same amount of time he was.
Almost exactly.
I'm Raylene Duke, and I've been attending the church for 32 years, plus 8 years when I was a kid.
Yeah, and I'm Dwayne Duick, and I've been attending the church for 30 years.
Did you guys get married here?
Yeah, we did get married.
Yeah, we did.
Here? Right here.
Right stood on the right stage, here. Yeah.
So yeah, no, I was dedicated in this church. I got married in this church. I had two kids, not in the church, but... and we had our kids dedicated in this church. Yeah. So it's just, it's a huge part of who we are as a family.
My name is George Dirksen. Nettie and I have been attending the Alliance for 46 years.
Dan Goldsmith, October 1985 till July of 1990.
Chris Thronis, and I am the lead pastor of the church.
I'm Linda.
And I'm Doug Letty. And we've been part of the church since 1971.
I'm Hilda Conrad, and I've been attending the Camels Alliance Church for 65 years.
My name is George Conrad, and I have lived here in this part of the world for 65 years, almost to the day. When we first came and went to the church, it was out on Columbia Street.
It was a small church, but they were friendly, and you know, you got to know everybody the first Sunday. We were there for a number of years. We outgrew the little building that was there, and so they built a church here. Very traumatic. Do you remember? I remember we heard it, and we ran over to the church. At that time, we lived just a couple blocks away from the church on Cypress. And the building was burning for sure. That was in 1976. There's all kinds of stories about it, yeah. Which one's true, who knows?
Everybody in town thought the church was done. We probably would just disband, but we didn't.
No.
I think it was Pastor Jack's leadership kind of drawing people in and then just convince people to trust God, that if we trust Him together, we'll see what He can do. You know, a necessity breeds serving and faith. When, you know, there aren't other people to serve and it's on you, and if you don't serve, it's not going to happen.
The people generally, they rallied and said, let's get it done.
This is our church.
Yeah.
There's a certain loyalty that you have to it. It was just automatic that we were going to rebuild. I mean, I don't think there was any question there.
There were no people standing around watching other people do things. We were all doing it together and working together. And for me, I think that set up a lot of, for us personally, I think helped us understand what it means to be part of a church.
Fortunately, the night the church burnt down, I was out of town. So I would have been a suspect, so.
That's good.
I was really bad in that neighborhood at that time.
The fellowship, the tight-knit couples that were attending the church, they'd been there for years. So they weren't going to back down.
And I think what happens in a situation like that, too, are the ones that aren't that committed to the church, they leave. They find another one. And you're left with
the core.
Yeah, yeah.
The loyalty isn't necessarily just within the church family members, it's to God and to the calling and to the promise that He's got something bigger planned for them. And so when you are gospel-centered, there's nothing left but loyalty and nothing left but commitment. And I think for a lot of the core members of our church, that's been the journey for them. And that keeps us on that path and keeps us Christ-focused.
Yeah, that's a whole lot.
But I'll have you just watch some of those.
Sure.
One of the greatest privileges that I had as a youth pastor, and that is to baptize those young people who have decided who they're going to serve with their lives.
I'm Pat. My name is Bishop.
It's Jonathan McNamee.
I'm Brianne.
I just have two quick questions for you. Do you believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Is your desire to follow Him for the rest of your life?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
And it's my pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son,
and Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That's cool. This is my baptism from 2012.
Selfie before the baptism. On the back it says baptism with an exclamation point.
Let go of our first grad. Sit the wheel.
I think one of the strengths of our church is the youth. We have great grandkids now that are in the youth program. I think the youth is where our emphasis should be, and it has been. And I think we're beginning to see the benefits of that. We're seeing it with our great grandkids. The youth is the future of our church.
Actually, we're just here to say, more encourage you to invite friends to youth, and just tell you how you can do that in a non-threatening kind of way, I guess.
There was a period of challenge that we went through where we had six youth pastors in a series of 6 years. And from that, we kind of got to a low point where, like, we needed to have a change. At that point, that's when we were able to bring in Pastor Tim Bussey.
There was a sense of we've been through kind of some ups and downs in youth ministry the last number of years. And lots of people talked about that struggle and what that was. But what they didn't talk about was actually the group of volunteers that saw the ministry through that season. I had a handful of volunteers that at that point had been volunteers for around 10 years each. What a gift as a new rookie pastor to step into having volunteers who knew what they were doing, who had run the show, and I got to kind of be a part of it.
Change the focus away from being coming to youth for dodgeball and towards that deeper life change. One thing that you often say in youth ministry is that you don't see the effects until like 10 years from now. And so, it's like... It is really cool to look back and see that like these things that we put in place, these changes that we prayed about, that we listen to God on, are impacting where our church is now.
Like, I got to watch it unfold before me, and I still am watching it unfold before me, see them serve in the church too, and they're still serving in the church, and one's on staff.
Well, just a legacy, right? Seeing those kids that we had in youth ministry are now like still in the church, and their families are in the church, and they're you know their elders or worship leaders or whatever, and now, like you say, pass it on to the next generation.
That's cool. Very exciting. Well, and it makes you feel like we got used by the Lord. This is so exciting. God worked through us, and He works through everyone if you're willing, you know. And yeah, anyway.
I think my passion for youth, I wouldn't be here in this position today if it wasn't for my youth ministry. I was blessed with people who loved me and who loved Jesus. I don't know that I'd love Jesus without that youth ministry. And I believe God has a high calling on young people. God wants to use them now. He wants to have them affect change in old people. And I still believe that. One of the forming and shaping things I think of KAC is just that volunteer dynamic. I think of Doug and Linda Galletti, who served in young adults ministry for, I think it was 20 years. Doug shares a story about how he had a stutter, and he didn't know how it was going to go, him leading. And as he leaned into leading young adults ministry, God removed the stutter.
which is crazy to me. And then they serve for 20 years. Like that radically shapes the spiritual landscape of a church.
It was after the third meeting we'd had in our house. We're laying in bed and we're talking and just interacting, and this sense of excitement of just, wow, what's God gonna do? And I remember laying there and I paused. And I said to Linda, I didn't stutter tonight. And God took care of it at that point in time. I don't ever remember saying, God, we will do this if you. God decided to take care of that. And it was probably the most fulfilling and significant thing in our marriage life, in our ministry life. We were talking about it last night. I don't know where we would have been right now spiritually had we not said yes.
The values that have remained bedrock in me are the ones that were established in our years in Kamloops. And the things that I had, some were elders, Don Olson, obviously, Peter Runge.
God gave to us a vision of being able to purchase the homes, the two homes next to us, and the motel. We were locked in for expansion. And so we prayed and prayed. We took it to the congregation. We put together a huge, we weren't a big church. And God just touched the hearts of the people. We didn't have rich people, but we had people who were willing to sacrifice and believed that God had called us to do something in this city.
At exactly the right moment, on exactly the right day, one of the people of Kamloops Alliance Church walked in and said, Pastor, that didn't know what we needed, walked in and said, you know, my wife and I have been talking and we want to give a gift to the church. And they wrote a check. I didn't tell them how much to write the check for, but the whole total amount worked out within $1,000, the two things, what we had and what they gave that day. And, you know, we bought both houses and moved ahead and knocked them down. And then that kicked off our whole opportunity to enter a building campaign to build a ministry center.
We've chosen one of our youngest people to actually help us and execute our ground turning. So over to you, Jacob.
It just blew my mind how this property, knowing that there is a bigger story to be told with the growth and development, and to now see that ministry center in that location. The moment when the excavator broke the ground for the ministry center, that was another really key moment. You know, being there kind of 20 years leading up to that ministry center, and to have that moment, that was huge.
As a youth ministry, we literally had small groups meeting in every orifice of the building. We had people in stairwells and in hallways, and this building was just, this was so awesome to be a part of the faithfulness of KAC.
Just seeing the transformation from, you know, this sketchy hotel to a beautiful ministry center that we can do great things and have great ministry out of has been just amazing.
What was it like to come there and see the ministry center attached? That whole space is now the church's space. How did that make you feel?
How to make it feel, honey?
It was amazing, really. Do you know when the hotel was there, we used to come to church early and pick up all the needles and everything that was laying around before the people started coming to church. And now it's this beautiful parking place and this ministry center that's, amazing. But God did it all.
He sure did. But I remember when we got to church that first Sunday that we were back, and we just sat in the parking lot.
Yeah, I cried.
It was amazing. It was unbelievable for us. And I guess the overwhelming thing that we felt was that God's people did that.
And we were getting ready to launch the building project that would create the ministry center. And before we launched it, I just felt I had to ask them. I said, oh, before we do that, I said, the property that we're sitting on is extremely valuable. And I need to at least ask the question, do we want to consider selling this property and probably ending up with enough capital that we would be able to build a new church on a new, at a new location in the city? Do we want to consider that? And I was so proud of the board's response, and to a person, they responded and said, not a chance. We know this is our parish. This is the neediest part of the city. We're placed in this area for a reason. We decided, look, why don't we don't have complete agenda harmony with all the social agencies on Tronchio. Not 100%, but you know what? 90%? We do. We agree on meeting the needs of people. And I said, they're the experts. But why don't we form a partnership with them wherever it's possible and use their channels and their avenues and their smarts to disperse the money that people are giving so generously. And so we did that, and that served two purposes, because it encouraged our people, because the money was being stewarded well, it was going to the needs, we were really hitting the nail on the head with needs, but we were also creating a community stir. The social agencies who looked at us before that as, oh, a church, all you do is spiritual stuff, you know. Well, what we wanted to do was something very spiritual, and that was give to the needy.
For the most part, we don't know about how children are being counseled through violence. We don't know how many meals are being served a day. But who does know? The local organizations. And over the last few years, I have been so encouraged and reassured and fully lit on fire by what KAC is doing for people outside of its doors in our communities right now.
I love the fact that KAC has like 70 plus years of history. Since I've come here, I said I've stood on the shoulders of people who have prayed prayers and given of their finances and given of their time and set up chairs and, you know, all those sorts of things.
My hope for KAC, which I think happens already to some extent, but I long for it to be a wholesale event, where people look at Kamloops Alliance Church and they go, that's what the church should look like.
My hope is to have deep, deep, deep disciples who know their scriptures, who know how to fast, are deep in prayer, all those sorts of discipleship on my own things, but also in community, and then to go wide, to go on mission.
I think the hopes for the church, for us, is that it would remain a warm church, a church that would welcome and be open for involvement. I think the experience of coming to church and getting involved made you feel this was your church. It's easy to get lost as we grow, because without it, wanting it to come into our mindset, but our mindset is, oh, well, everything gets done for us. And 40 years ago, we needed to do it for the church to survive. And I think that was a great experience.
To bring people in on the beautiful invitation to serve Jesus and to have front row seats to what he's doing in different ministries of our church, but also at workplaces and homes and different organizations in our city. We just want all of us to be linking arms together and to kind of brick by brick tear down the wall between those who are paid at the church and those who aren't, and the professionals do it and we don't. And I think in order for us to be the church that reaches our city in ways that we are praying for, that has to happen.
I hope that it will be remembered, that the Calyps Lands Church will always be remembered as a church where we loved God and loved people so much that it was a place where everybody was welcome and they were invited to come just the way they were.
What does it look like for KAC to reach all of the population of Kamloops, knowing that there's Thompson Rivers University with a large proportion of international students, and the fact that, you know, 13 to 15% of our population are Indigenous? And so I felt a prompting, an impression from the Lord to think about that. And so one of the things I wanted to do is to have some sort of an open heart, open arms, intentional reach to Indigenous people. And so I'm very new on that journey myself, and so I'm hesitant to say what that will look like. But I do and have seen us take steps forward as a community in that way. And so I'm really excited about that. One of my hopes for KAC is that KAC be a place where the presence of God is experienced and felt and acknowledged and recognized. In a culture that is naturalistic and secular, transcendence has been completely eradicated from that. And I believe that the human heart is looking for something deeper, something transcendent. And so I'm hoping, praying that we'd be people of transcendence here, the people of experiencing the presence of God as something that is profound, to say, no, Jesus is alive. He is who he says he is, and you need to come on board. You need to investigate. You need to maybe deconstruct your deconstruction. You need to be skeptical about your skepticism, and you need to come. You need to investigate what is going on here, because I think that's what we have to offer, is we have relationship with God Almighty.
My hopes for the church are basically that they would be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. As Chris has indicated, times are changing so much that the Word of God does not change. The Word of God answers the questions of life, no matter how we may change. But the way in which we approach sharing the Word of God, and that this would be a very strong commitment.
If it's 2021 or 2022 or 2019, whatever, out there, it needs to be like that in here. And so let's speak about the world in which we live and how Jesus and historical Christianity actually is the more beautiful, the more true, the more compelling than what perhaps we have adopted in our own lives.
Keep focused on the Lord. Continue to exalt Him. I know styles have changed, all kinds of ministry, but I'm grateful that in the midst of all of the changes, people are still coming to know the Lord, and never lose sight of the fact that people are lost. They need a Savior. And as a church, you've got a ministry to reach out.
Everyone is accepted here. This is a come as you are church. And we don't, you know, it's not change your life and come. It's come and be changed.
One of my desires as a lead pastor is to have a culture and a community that says, man, here I am. Like, here's my stuff. And so, you know, sometimes when you go to church, it's like, you know, we just want to park everything at the door. And we want to, it's like, no, like, we want you to bring all of your stuff into this, because we all have it. Whether you've been coming to church for 45 years or it's your first Sunday, we all bring something here. And so instead of hiding those things, let's bring them to Jesus. And so that kind of heart has led us to this phrase that we've used. We want to be a hospital for broken people, for sinners, rather than a museum of saints.
Most importantly, prayer. I think the most important thing. I don't think that any of us would really be here without a lot of prayer.
I pray that we would be a praying church. One author says that the sound of the church praying is the sound of the church breathing. And I believe that. And so in our very distracted, busy, instant gratification culture, prayer is the last thing on my mind. And yet through the history of Christianity, the ancients who have followed, that's always been the first thing, is to be people of prayer. the gulp moment of, oh my goodness, you know, what does this look like, was really sensing before I came here, just to pray for renewal. Pray for renewal for our city. And again, the church history helps us that it's actually at the times where things seem like they are most lost or seem like they are most desperate and seem like only darkness is ahead. That's actually when God moves. And I feel all of that sort of stuff. And so I think this is actually a time of opportunity. And so the prayer of Habakkuk has been very shaping before I got here and kind of as I've landed and tried my best is to pray the prayer of Habakkuk. You know, Lord, we've heard of your fame. We stand in awe of your deeds. Renew them in our day, Lord. In our time, would you make them known? In other words, like, God, we've heard of what you've done in the past, and here we are in deep need of you, and would you do that again right now? And not losing sight of the fact that the best thing that ever happened to me was on the cross 2,000 years ago. Like, that is signed, sealed, delivered. I would describe KAC with the words outward. One of the things I love about us is that we're focused not just on our own stuff and needs, so outward. I would describe it as a community, that it's not just about one person. It's not about one gift. It's not about one thing, but we're a community. So there's a family element there of just life together.
I would describe Council Alliance Church as an exciting and dynamic place where everyone is welcome. And where people love to be.
And I would say it's a church well grounded in the Word of God, leading the way in creative ministries designed to meet the needs and changes of the church today.
I would describe KAC as faithful, and that's a part of the call to Kamloops here, that we're here, we're not leaving. And so that faithfulness to the call.
The safe place to come, to experience God's love, to experience the love of other people.
It's a place where God's word is taught and God is honored.
Family, a place that I always feel safe coming to.
I believe it is a welcoming, vibrant church, rich in community and international ministries, and making an impact for God.
As a place of worship and community, and a place of belonging.
Welcoming and a place to learn. In one word, actually, it's home.
Culturally aware and culturally relevant.
It's a family.
It's a place where lives are changed.
Faithful and generous.
A place you can belong.
Faithful presence.
Rubber meets the road.
Multi-generational.
Christ-centered.
A warm embrace. Home away from home.
Totally awesome.
Community.
Community.
Caring people.
Community.
Community.
Excellence.
Community.
Community.
Awesome church.
Welcoming.
Faithful.
Home.
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 Wow, just so incredible to see the rich history of KAC. It was such an honor to be able to craft this film. Every interview, every conversation, all the photos that I found, the story just kept getting deeper and deeper, as Chris said, longer and longer. But I just think there's so many incredible stories. It's hard to say it in a short form. So yeah, just such an awesome opportunity to create this. And as you notice probably in the film, that a good chunk of it is obviously about the history, but it's also such an opportunity to think about the hopes and dreams and the future of KAC, what's next. And as a creative team, we're also just talking about what's next creatively for the church. And one thing that we've been looking at is our visual identity. So our logo, the colors of the walls, the website, what you're holding in your hand, what's next for our visual identity?
So yeah, as Ben said, we as a team got to embark on that. What would it look like for us to refresh KC's visual identity? And we wanted to do that really, really well. We didn't want to rush into it. So we set out for several months and we had conversations with many people in our own church. We had interviews with people who work in the creative field and churches and people who work in the creative industry. And we sat down and we poured over archival material and looked at previous visual identities. And out of that, we came up with three objectives, three things we wanted to hit with this, with a refreshed visual identity. One, we wanted to encapsulate the heart of who KAC is, who has God called KAC to be. Two, we wanted to honor the rich history and legacy. And three, we wanted to create something that would be flexible enough to be used in many different cases. And so without further ado, it is really exciting to get to present KAC's new visual identity to you. So there are two things that we want to point out to you in this new identity. One, we said we want to honor the rich history of KAC. And so as we poured over archival material, as we poured over old visual assets, that the angular cross kept coming up as a common theme. And many of you remember that angular cross being etched into the side of the pews. And so we loved that bit, and we really wanted to honor it and use it. And so we believe we've done so in sort of the angular shape of this logo. Two, we, as we said, we wanted to encapsulate the heart of who KAC is. And so as you know, KAC exists to know Jesus and make him known. As Chris said in the film, we want to be a people who go deep and who go wide. And so in this shape, you'll see arrows that point inwards and arrows that point outwards. So the arrows that point inwards point to the fact that we want to know Jesus. We want to go deep in him. We want to live life in him. We want to be transformed by him and be empowered by him. And then two, one, it's not enough for us just to know Jesus. No, we want to know him, but yeah, we want to make him known. And so those arrows pointing outwards point to the fact that we want to be a people that proclaim the truth of Jesus and all that he's done for us in both word and deed. And we want to do that, not just here with each other, but in our workplaces and in our schools and in our families and in our city and beyond.
Yeah, so just so excited to integrate this into everything that we create here at KAC. So you'll really start to see it over the next weeks and months in many different places. Yeah, if you have questions for us or any comments, make sure you flag us down in the foyer or an online chat or email myself at benj@kamloopsalliance.com. Thank you so much.
So as I was able to get a sneak peek at the last about 30 minutes of what you've just seen, I had a few times where my eyes were sweating, where I had to get out a Kleenex just to listen to these people who have loved this community and our city and this church for so long. It's just so awesome to be able to stand on their shoulders. And so here's just maybe a few reflections for us. Number one, this documentary reminds us that of the amazing people that have gone before us. The amazing people. Some you heard. There's many others, and you know who you are, who have been a part of this church through the different seasons of this church for a long time. And I think this is a perfect moment in this season of our world to say thank you. Thank you to you who have prayed and washed dishes and discipled youth and young adults and who have preached sermons here or led music here or set up chairs when nobody was watching or on Christmas Eve or in the parking lot as people came. Thank you for those who have gone before us. We stand on your shoulders, former lead pastors, congregants, former elders. We get a sense that you take ownership of this church. And so thank you for paving the way for us. This documentary also is a reminder that the legacy of KAC is not ultimately up to us, but we play a significant role right now in the season of life that we are living in. So I want to remind all of us that what you have just seen is this is who we are. This is who we are. In a time of dislocation and in a time of potential disunity, it's so important, I cannot stress this enough, for you and I to remember whose we are and who we are. That now is not the time to lose our minds over secondary issues. Now is not the time for us to dislocate even further than what we already have to because of this pandemic. Folks, there's much at stake, and let's keep our eyes focused on Jesus. This documentary also reminds us that there's an opportunity in front of us right now. So let's fast forward the clock 30 years from now, and maybe Ben is still around and Ben makes another documentary, or maybe there's somebody else who comes along and thinks it's wise to do the same type of project. Imagine what that documentary will be like. I guarantee you that this pandemic that we're living in would get a lot of the focus of that documentary. Who are we going to be? Right now, what would the documentary say of who, how we are operating and how we are serving each other in love? Folks, we have a mission, and this mission given to us by Jesus keeps us focused, that there is an opportunity right now for you and I to be faithful in loving and serving one another, in listening to each other, and outward focus towards our community. May you and I prove to be faithful, not for documentary's sake, but for the fame and the name of Jesus Christ in our congregation and in our city. So just a few maybe challenges. For those of you on the sidelines, great. I'm glad you're part of us in whatever way that you can commit to. But I would say, come join. There's lots of room. There's lots of room to come and join and to discover your spiritual gift, to be a part of the mission of KAC. For those of you on the sidelines financially, this is a great opportunity for you to partner with us in a very important way that we can continue to steward the mission that Jesus has for us. For those of you who are new, I've talked to many people in this season who are just shopping around for a church. And I believe that your choice of a local church is the most important decision that you can make for your family. So make a wise choice. But I would say if you commit to us, be all in. Be all in. I've said it before and I'll say it again. This is not a cruise ship. This is a warship. This is an aircraft carrier. And so come on board, jump in with us here. For those of right now who are serving and loving and giving, thank you. Thank you. We couldn't do it without you. We're so grateful for you. Now, finally, what does this documentary remind us of? It reminds us of Paul's vision. For his, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20, it says, verse 22, it says, "And God placed all things under his feet," this is Jesus' feet, "and appointed him to be head over everything, the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." That Jesus, and I've said this before, and I will continue to say it as long as I'm here, that Jesus is our lead pastor. This documentary shows us the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, faithful in providing people, resources, mindsets, whatever it is, at the right time. That, folks, Jesus loves our church more than anybody. He has died for our church. He has sacrificed for our church more than anybody. And so the last 77 years is all about King Jesus. There's been many different seasons at KAC, some great, let's be honest, some not so great, but all of them are an anthem to the provision, presence, and faithfulness of Jesus to our church. And may it continue under our watch in this time. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the beautiful story of this local church, imperfect as we are, following you, knowing you and making you known. In this time, Lord, in this time, would you manifest yourself in powerful ways? And we continue to pray along with Habakkuk. We've heard of your fame. We stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. We know what you can do. Lord, we just humbly ask, repeat them in our day. In our time, would you make them known? Would you come? Would you send your spirit to our church, to our city? For the sake of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thanks for tuning in. See you next week.